A Russian spacecraft is about to make an uncontrolled re-entry. Colorado is thinking spaceport. And the final surviving member of the B-52 design team has gone west. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, December 20th, 2011. Russia's Phobos Grunt probe was launched on November 9th, headed for one of the moons of Mars. But the mission encountered communications problems early, and the spacecraft has been stuck in Earth orbit, and a decaying one. Now, Russia admits it will fall into the atmosphere in early January, but stresses there's not a serious risk to anyone on the ground. The Russian space agency, Roscosmos, says between 20 and 30 pieces, weighing a total of about 440 pounds or less, will survive re-entry. Another 11 tons of highly toxic fuel is expected to burn off high in the atmosphere and dissipate without issue. There's also 22 pounds of radioactive cobalt-57 in one of the probe's instruments, but Roscosmos tells the Associated Press it will not pose a threat of contamination on Earth. In April, it will be time to commemorate the 60th anniversary of the first flight of the U.S. Air Force B-52 bomber. More remarkable, the venerable design is expected to remain in service another 20 years. The last of the original Boeing design team, whose proposal and balsa scale model won Air Force approval to build the plane, has passed away at the age of 94. Douglas Martin of the New York Times recalls that over the course of a weekend marathon in a hotel in Dayton, Ohio in 1948, six designers from Boeing produced a 33-page proposal and a 14-inch balsa wood scale model of an airplane on a stand, which Colonel Pete Warden would proclaim the new B-52. The last surviving member of that team was Holden Bob Withington, who, according to his daughter, succumbed to Alzheimer's disease at his home on Mercer Island, Washington, on December 9th. The B-52's first flight was April 15th of 1952. A total of 744 were built through 1963. The swept wing and some other features of the B-52 design were later borrowed for the Boeing 707 and are still part of airliners to this day. Withington, who was trained at MIT and built an early Boeing wind tunnel capable of 635 mile per hour speeds back in 1941, eventually went on to become a Boeing VP, charged with heading the design of a competitor to Europe's Concorde supersonic transport. That Boeing project was canceled in 1971. Ironically, he didn't get his own pilot certificate until age 80, after his 1983 retirement, when he built a two-place experimental in his backyard. The Times reports Holden Withington is survived by his wife Elizabeth, three sons, and five grandchildren. Tom Clark, executive VP of the Metro Denver Economic Development Corporation, has told the Denver Post that Colorado, which already claims more space-related industry than any state but California, could gain even more high-paying technical jobs by turning the Front Range Airport east of Denver into a space launch facility. Quote, "It would be another star in our sky," unquote. Elaine Thorndike, chief executive of the Colorado Association for Manufacturing and Technology, tells the Post, quote, "Companies that are either suppliers to the commercial space market or part of the aerospace sector in general are extremely excited," unquote. She's overseeing the redevelopment of an old Hewlett-Packard campus in Loveland, Colorado, into an aerospace and clean energy park. Clark is a recent convert to the spaceport idea, having said as recently as a year and a half ago that such a facility in Colorado didn't make sense, with Spaceport America just down the road in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Recent developments in horizontal launch technology is what has changed his mind. Formal estimates of the costs and benefits of converting Front Range into a spaceport have not yet been done. The pilot of a Bell 407 helicopter being operated by PHI over the Gulf of Mexico December 1st saw the chip detector light come on and decided he should make a precautionary landing on an oil platform. But before he even could get there, he heard a loud whining sound, a bang, and experienced a sudden yaw. The NTSB says in its preliminary report that the pilot established auto-rotation and deployed the emergency floats and made a successful water landing. The pilot and his passenger were both rescued from their life raft minutes later, uninjured. The helicopter stayed upright for about 2 hours, but eventually overturned. The NTSB has recovered it for further investigation. Still ahead, three Afghan Air Force lieutenants have completed their training in Texas. Avadyne's digital autopilots add some important STCs. And NASA wants to be your source for new music. You're listening to AeroNews.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, December 20th. I'm Paul Plack. The East Hampton, New York Town Board has snubbed NIMBYs and unanimously decided to seek an FAA grant to build a deer fence around its airport's perimeter. The fence is expected to cost as much as $800,000. Some residents are against it out of fear the grant will give the FAA too much power to override local noise and safety concerns. Town Board member Dominic Stanzioni tells the Sag Harbor Express the application has been filed with the FAA, and he hopes for approval sooner rather than later. He also hopes working with the FAA will eventually lead to at least a seasonal control tower for the airport, and that the resulting Class D airspace would allow controllers to better implement noise abatement procedures. The town board believes it can take a federal airport improvement grant, yet still implement measures such as curfews. That remains to be seen. Three Afghan Air Force lieutenants will soon be returning to Afghanistan with Silver Wings after graduating from specialized undergraduate pilot training Friday at Laughlin Air Force Base in Texas. After competing against more than 350 Afghan pilot candidates, these three are the first from their country to attend and graduate from pilot training at Laughlin. U.S. Air Force says that as part of the selection process, the Afghans went through physical fitness tests, aviation and communications lessons, and received flight physicals. They were then sent to the Defense Language Institute English Learning Center at Lackland Air Force Base to learn the English language. The three will next be trained back home in the C-27A Spartan by instructors from Laughlin. Avadyne says it has received TSO and STC approval of the DFC-90 autopilot for Integra-equipped Piper PA-46 Matrix and Mirage aircraft, and TSO and STC approval of the DFC-100 for Release 9-equipped Piper matrices. Avadyne has previously announced plans to interface the DFC-90 with the Aspen EFD-1000 Pro Series flight display, with initial certifications in Cessna 182 and Beech, Baron, and Bonanza models expected in 2012. Get more details and the surprisingly affordable list prices in the text version of this story, dated December 19th at aero-news.net. And finally today, NASA has its own internet radio station. Third Rock, America's space station, debuted December 12th with what's described as a new rock indie alternative format. It operates at no cost to the government through a Space Act agreement. Third Rock can be reached from NASA's homepage, nasa.gov, and will soon be available through NASA iPhone and Android mobile applications. David Weaver, the Associate Administrator for the Office of Communications at NASA headquarters, says, quote, "We have led the way in innovative uses of new media, and this is another example of how the agency is taking advantage of these important communication tools," unquote. NASA is also taking advantage of the availability of former broadcast radio professionals, which are being shed in large numbers by today's consolidated radio companies. The agency is collaborating with Houston-based RFC Media. That company's co-founders are Pat Fant, a veteran general manager of broadcast radio stations in Houston and Dallas, who serves as RFC's chief operating officer, and a guy named Cruz, with no last name, who has a resume filled with major market radio programming credits dating back to 1985. So, what's between the songs? Fant explains, quote, "NASA features and news items are embedded throughout the programming alongside greetings by celebrity artists," unquote. Third Rock will also help partner companies fill high-tech job openings in the engineering, science, and IT fields. In addition to the NASA web portal, the station will be available online in the future at the radio tab of Apple's iTunes and other sites. Showing he still has a way with a corny DJ line, Cruz adds, quote, No one knows more about discovering new rock than NASA, unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.